Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
All right, let's listen also to Rato. Thank you so much. Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor Ray, and the beloved contributors to the program, and amazing listeners of Radio Pulpit, GLA. Tonight's discourse regarding stumbling blocks in a believer's life makes me narrate the story of Lot's wife in the Old Testament. Mm. We look at the book of Genesis, specifically chapter 19, 24 to 26, that's the verses. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valleys, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Common types of stumbling blocks that we face. Mm. Fleshly desires, pride and self-centeredness, doubt and unbelief, and not forgetting worldly desires. So, the key details of this story shows the setting where it takes place as God is preparing to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And then the warning centers when two angels are instructed to Lot and his wife and their daughters to flee the city without looking back. Mm. And then the notion of disobedience comes in when Lot's wife looked back at Sodom as it was being destroyed. And the consequences that were faced here was that she was immediately turned into a pillar of salt. The meaning of the story serves as a warning against worldly attachments, regret, and disobedience to God's instructions, which highlights that cling to the past, even after choosing a new path, which can lead to spiritual loss. And that centers about the cautionary topic of tonight's stumbling blocks as believers. So just as Lot's wife was physically turned into a pillar of salt, many believers can become spiritually dead when they cling to former ways of living. This narrative warns us of the consequences of failing to exist in the freedom that Christ offers. And this verse that I just quoted now, it's taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1, where in the New Testament, Christ has set us free. For freedom of Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So the lessons from Lot's life include the critical importance of making wise choices, especially concerning one's living environment and associations, the danger of tolerating sin and compromising with the evil, the necessity of obeying God's guidance even when it conflicts with personal desires or circumstances, and the concept of God's grace as he showed mercy to Lot and his family despite their failings. So the story of Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt edifies a stumbling block by serving as a stark warning against disobedience, attachment to the past, and worldly desires that hinder faith and obedience to God's commands. Her transformation illustrates that looking back with longing at a sinful life leads to a spiritual death, while the pillar of salt itself acts as a permanent monument to the devastating consequences of choosing temporal comfort over eternal life and salvation. So it's very important as Christians that we need to have a reminder of disobedience. Because when you have disobedience, you will have consequences. So we always need to exercise the notion of being obedient to the Elohim. Mm. Then I looked at key lessons for believers, Pastor Ray.
Yes.
First of all, there's obedience and trust, like I said. Letting go of the past as well, because the story is a potent symbol of attachment to worldly ways and old habits that hinder spiritual progress. Also, prioritizing the eternal. Jesus uses the story to highlight the importance of sacrificing temporal desires for eternal life and God's kingdom. Then you need to have faith for the future, because true faith is directional and it looks forward to God's promises and a new life in Christ. Then I looked at consequences of hesitation. The story also shows that hesitation and doubt, even in the face of the divine commands, can be detrimental. Lot's wife, half-hearted obedience marked by her look back, ultimately demonstrated a lack of wholehearted commitment to God's way, and it led her to doom. So I just picked up 8 important facts, that I can call them, Pastor A, that we can look at as believers. The first one is, the Lord always leads. The second one, faith requires both feet and no straddling. The third one is to remember your first love and flee the bondage of sin. The fourth one, you need to set your hearts on things from above and not things of the world. The fifth one, trust divine inspiration. The sixth one, close to grace isn't insufficient. The seventh one, backsliding is gradual. And the eighth one, it's very important to pray. When you see that you are facing a stumbling block as a believer, the best way to come out of it is to keep your prayers up. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rato. I appreciate.
Sitshele ukuthi ucabangani. Sicela ukuzwa uvo lwakho. Ungasithinta kugospel@radiopulpit.co.za noma usithumele iWhatsApp ku 0826572729. Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Bishop Brian Mashike.
Greetings, man of God, Pastor Ray, your crew, and the audience at large. Thank God for this momentous opportunity, Pastor Brian speaking. Appreciate the time and the subject, stumbling blocks in a believer's life. I've just picked up a few, this is not all. I just reflect on a few. Number one, unconfessed sin. It's a great stumbling block to progress, effective life, effective praying, ascendancy, not only in the spiritual realm, but in every area of life. So unconfessed sin. I think it's David who says, if I consider sin in my heart, the Lord shall not answer my prayer. So sin hinders us. Isaiah says, no, it's not that the Lord's ears are deaf to hear, neither his eyes too dim to see, but now there is a wall of separation. So sin, number one is sin. It's a stumbling block. We should know that immediately when we overcome sin, when we live above that realm of sinning, then we're going to flow, we're going to progress effectively. Even our prayers are going to be very effective. And secondly, wrong direction. Somebody said speed is not an advantage when somebody is going the wrong direction, so it becomes a disadvantage. It's a stumbling block for somebody that's doing what he's not supposed to be doing. So people should know and be able to identify their assignment. This is done by even inquiring, confirmation through even leadership and other men of God that God can use, what we call it, a spiritual incitement from within, or others could call it a conscience. But now a wrong direction is a stumbling block. So there are many believers that don't even know whether they're in the right or in the wrong direction. Some are living according to the mind or the perspectives of others, and that's being lost. So that's how I can put it, wrong direction. Secondly, prayerlessness. It's a stumbling block. When we don't pray, hardly will we get a revelation from God. Hardly will we have a direction. So I'm not saying God is limited to prayer, but prayer is a way of humbling ourselves. It's a way of cultivating our hearts. It's a way of humbling ourselves. David says, when they were struck with the sickness and diseases, I humbled myself by prayer and fasting. That is very important. So prayerlessness, it's a demon that is facing us. That's why Jesus would always pray as an example, because prayer is not an easy thing. So Hence, we are commanded to pray without ceasing, and pray always, as Paul saying, pray, we should pray always. So prayer should be a key. So, but prayerlessness is a challenge. That's the flesh. The spirit is willing to pray, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is unwilling. So we ought to learn to master, to discipline ourselves, to bring down the flesh under control. Paul says, I beat myself daily, I repent daily, I die daily. So prayer is ushers change. Prayer, I mean, ushers angelic activity in our life. Prayer invites God into our state of life, or into a phase of life. So prayerlessness is another point. Fourthly, another stumbling block is temptations. Some people see temptations as a distraction, as a way to, you know, to bring you back, to bring you down. But temptations are there just to test us. They're like challenges. They are just there to uplift us. They are there to stretch us. They are there to prove what we have. You understand? So a temptation is not just a negativity. It's just, it can be a negativity, but it's there to bring out the best out of us. So temptations are there. As a child of God, you'll be tempted. But now many people see temptations as a challenge, and as a matter of fact, they decide to give up or to backslide or to draw back. So, which is not right. And I will add on that, that sometimes it's a wrong teaching. People have never been taught that they're going to meet temptations. They've been told about the, you know, the glorious gospel, which it is the glorious gospel. But at the same time, people must be warned of the things that they're going to meet on the way, that there are going to be challenges, there are going to be temptations. People must be strong, they must be taught how to depend and how to rely on the word of God, how to depend on God, how to trust in the Lord. So sometimes not being taught, ignorance is a stumbling block. So I don't want to go so much deeper into that, but temptations and challenges are there to elevate us. That's another stumbling block. But now they are not meant to destroy us. We can add even suffering on that. And also, point number five, doubt and fear. I have seen personally where faith is not, doubt makes a great room and a habitation. So we need not to live by doubt. Doubt is a faith of the devil. It brings failure. It casts out faith. So faith and doubt cannot live in the same room. Hence, they are together with fear. Fear also is a faith of the devil. So doubt and fear, they are a stumbling block to the believers. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. So instead of doubt and fear, we should on a daily basis feed on things, on words, on statements, on information that's going to build our faith much more than destruct us or build doubt and fear. So it's important to read the word of God. The Bible says faith comes, faith has legs to come. Faith comes by hearing. So by hearing what? The word. So we need to build up our faith as children of God. Where faith is going to kick out doubt and fear. Instability and ungroundedness or character, that's the sixth point. It's a stumbling block. Many times as men of God, as children of God, we become less effective just because of our character. Our character speaks volumes. It's not about what we say that matters, but it is how we live. If you read Acts chapter 1, Dr. Luke speaks to, you know, he writes to Theophilus about the things which Jesus both, take note of the word, both began to do. That's how the list comes, to do and to speak, something like that. To do and both, to do and to speak. So meaning that we ought to be doers of the word. We need, you can just check that verse. I think it's Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. So doing, being a doer of the word is very important. So hence, it will help us kill the spirit of hypocrisy. It will help us kill the spirit of pretense. So character is very important. Many are preachers, our characters are rotten. Our characters, you know, they're not there. I don't know how to put it, but now we need to make sure we develop our character. We need to have a strong foundation in the Word of God. We need to have a strong foundation in the Bible, in the principles, in the doctrine of the Word, and put it into practice. So, yeah, that's my sixth point. How can we see that, or how can we discover such in a believer's life, some brethren that are experiencing a lot of stumbling blocks in their lives? They live compromised lives, compromised values. Secondly, some, they manifest in anger. They haven't learned to deal with their character. They can easily get angry. A fool would be of such, but now we learn to deal with self. That's why Jesus said, whoever wants to follow me, let him carry his own cross daily. Daily. Let him crucify, carry his cross. That's crucifixion, self-crucification.
I don't know what happened to Brian. I don't know what happened.
Alignment.
Yes, yes.
Then, thirdly, retrogress instead of progress. Sometimes believers that are experiencing stumbling blocks, there's no progress. There is retrogress. Sometimes there is stagnancy. There's no moving forward. There's no spiritual growth. There's no spiritual appetite. There's no hunger for God. There is no lifting. You understand? So the list goes on. And there is no even ambition, no authority. You understand? So it's just an issue of survival and not being effective. May God help us. May God bless you, Pastor Ray. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bishop Brian there. I really appreciate. May the Father do you good also, sir. I appreciate you very much.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Right, 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit. You've heard our guests, and you can send us your WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. You can also give us a shout, talk to us directly there, 012-334-1322. What are the things that you would deem as stumbling blocks in your own life, in your own walk with the Father? And how have you been able to deal with them? Yeah, it's good to also personalize it. Professor, let me come back to you. The notion of stumbling blocks also, when we look into Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Elohim of hosts." Now, and I said to Barukia earlier on, and I said, and the teachings can be a stumbling blocks. There is something that we don't check quite properly from those who are in the priesthood, those who preach. Professor. Aba name impahla zakhona bayazigqoka ama bashumayela. Hlolo ka James, umhlolo.
Umhlolo ka James, yeah. Yeah, the word says for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge. Mm. And now the picture you are painting is that sometimes the knowledge is not received from the source that you think should be revealing and depicting that knowledge. However, now we find deception coming from those lips. And the word of God is saying to us, if we are not going to reveal this knowledge from the lips of the priest, it means it becomes a stumbling block to those whom we are speaking to, or from to those who are expecting us to speak the right thing. It says this full verse, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And if there is no knowledge experienced or found from the lips of a priest, it means priests themselves become the stumbling block and they lead the people of God astray. And I think we are seeing more of that happening in the gatherings that we have, Brother Ray. Sometimes for those who have not yet been enlightened to differentiate the true church of Yahusha and the church, they end up taking each and every information from the lips of the so-called priests, whereas the priesthood of those people is not ordained by the Father. And those people become the stumbling block to salvation, to the work of the cross. And we are never going to face a lot of judgment from the Father, because we are the very people who are taking the people of God from him, whereas they're expecting us to speak the right thing. So I'm looking at the picture whereby the word of God is not preached in the manner that it should be preached. And it takes me back to the scripture that you quoted earlier on, Numbers 13, verse 32. I want to go back to that scripture where the spies were supposed to speak the word in accordance to what the Father has said, are not speaking the right things. Verse 32 says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Mm. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And this report was contradicting what the Father had promised. Can you imagine the Father promising Abraham all the way to Jacob, Israel? And there come people right now,
the Gauteng Department of Social,
to what the Father has said. They are speaking the bad report, whom the Father did not say at all in any of the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It means when people speak against the word of God, they become the stumbling block to the promises and the salvation of the Father. And when we are now speaking our feelings, speaking what we see, failing to see beyond the flesh, seeing beyond the physical, we become the stumbling block, because sometimes we get entertained and get controlled by the physical. So what these spies have said, they said what they saw with their naked eye, and they forgot what the Father had said. So it means stumbling block also are initiated by our blindness. Mm. When we fail to see beyond what we see physically, the blindness that we have becomes the stumbling block to the will of the Father. And when we do not see beyond this, it means we are unable to take and to lead the people of God. So these are the things that are even so bad that we are failing to see beyond what God beyond what we are seeing. And God and his promises are no longer glorified, because we are saying what God has said is not going to come to pass. It means stumbling blocks are also making God a liar, because we are not depicting and living according to the word that has been spoken. So it means our minds become blinded. When people are experiencing stumbling blocks, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the people of Israel, the spies at the time, when they are bringing the bad report, it means they are minds got blinded by what they saw. So in other words, they allowed the God of this age to blind them, meaning they couldn't ascend to where the Father was speaking, to the dimension of the spiritual where they were expected to speak from. So when we fail to see beyond, we become become the stumbling block even to the word of God. So when we are unable to speak for God, we are making God a liar. We are making God not being the God who is just in what he has said before. So in other words, we are somehow rebelling against the word of God. So it either is this is happening indirectly or directly, but at the end of the day, because we fail to speak as God has been speaking, we become the stumbling block, which is going back to the verse that you have quoted in Malachi 2:7, that the lips of the priest should keep knowledge. But this knowledge is also experiential. If we are not going to speak from the experience of the spiritual word of God, we become the stumbling block to the people we need to be sending the message to. And again, this goes hand in hand with the idolatry that fills our hearts. In the book of Ezekiel 14, verse 3, I think you quoted it earlier on, it says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which caused them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them?" So it means when our hearts are filled with the idols, so may it be things that we love the most, may it be our treasures, may it be our pride, may it be our work, may it be our promotions, may it be our money, may it be our position, those things are becoming idols in our hearts. So when we have these things as idols, it means God no longer has a place, and these become the stumbling block in our relationship with the Father. So when these things become idols in our hearts, it means our understanding is darkened, because we do not get the enlightenment of the Father, since in our hearts is not the word of God, but the self is now filling the heart of man. So we become darkened in our spirit. There is no understanding. According to Isaiah 44:18, it says, "They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand." This happens because people have heaped into their hearts idols, things that are not in the program of God, simply because now they want to qualify into certain standards, and this becomes a stumbling block even into their sight of who the Father is. So if there is no more knowledge and no more understanding, there wouldn't be any revelation of who the Father is. And everybody whom we speak to, we are speaking darkness. We cannot speak the light of God if ourselves are not enlightened, because we allow things to occupy our hearts. We allow the things of the flesh and the things of this world, the toils of this world, to fill our hearts, and those things are becoming our idols. And I think we need to now understand that idols are not talking, we're not talking about the ghosts and things that are portable that you can hold with our own hands, but some of the things that are occupying the position of the Father in our hearts, we must know that those things are idols, and they darken our spirituality. So when these things are taking that position, they are stumbling blocks to us in the relationship that we have with the Father. And that's what we're talking about today, so that we can be able to know and guard against some of these things that darken our spiritual lives.
Thank you so much, Professor. I really appreciate. Now, the stumbling blocks again is hypocrisy. You know, something that I noted many have not spoken about, hypocrisy. Matthew 23:13 says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." And this comes because people have formed cults, man, out of these so-called churches. It's sad.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564. Or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
All right, 657 AM. Malak, let me bring this to you. Hypocrisy. Check it out, Luke 11:52. Woe to you, lawyers. Woe to you, lawyers. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. Hey, hypocrisy on our part. This can be a stumbling block. What say you, Malak?
Shalom, shalom, Malak. Hey, yeah, there's a strong warning. Let's say we're looking from Matthew 27, verse 15. Where it says, woe to scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the reign of the Shamayim against men, and you neither go in yourself. So we can see that there are leaders who look religious, right, because of how you say they wearing their garments and all that to say, you know, we are the priest and all that, but with the way they are conducting or the way or their way of doing things, it is blocking people to come to Abayahua. So instead of letting people come through. So there are too many traditions, there are these rules that we put in to say this is the way we should follow. From after it, it must be the Akoloku Yehova. You know, that's what would happen. You know, it's everything in that tradition and all that. So if you could come and do things in a different way, they look at you and it probably would be chased out. Or it would look like Korwena, you don't have the Ruach HaKadosh, or when you don't even hear from Abba Yahuwah. So it is for us to learn in walking in the way of Abba Yahuwah and to accept and to no longer be that people that are blocking others, no longer also be hypocrites that block people, but then we also do not go in ourselves. Now, we have the teachers of the law. They have taken away the key knowledge, right? And in them having taken the key knowledge, the tutors of are teaching that are really quite different because they also have gone to the Kolosabuhut and they've been conditioned in a certain way. And when you are to come with something different or you are to question, inside of them. So they don't teach clearly, but the teachings are the religious twisted teachings, basically. So that is now where they are leading people into. So we need to understand in saying, when we're speaking of spiritual hindrance, Kikare, there's a blockage of discernment. There's a blockage of communication. When we look at, let's say, Rekashaba, the scripture in the book of Genesis chapter number 2, Abba Yahuwah creates man. And it is until the spirit is breathed in him that man becomes a living soul. So now, we are talking about that which makes which you know, which grows us spiritually. Yeah. And can you imagine when that is blocked? Because then it shows that the connection between us and understanding Abba Yahuwah, the connection for us to be able to gain these things that we have brought in that we're not supposed to bring in, have now brought in that kind of a blockage. And hence, the signal is no longer, we no longer are connected to him. We are lost, basically. So it is for us to be ransomed. It is for us to come back to say, how do we need to seek the true knowledge of Abba Yahuwah. We need to walk in the way that is pleasing. That is why in Nahore, we come out of the noise, because this one says that, that one says that. You know, there's so much of interpretation in how the way it's taught today. Yes, we read the same scripture, but then we have 5 different, 10 different interpretations. So it tells you that we, where we are, is a place which is full of the noise. And that on its own is another hindrance of saying why there's not that unity. And it is until we get to go back to the drawing board, it is until when we get to seek him. And in the scripture, that is why earlier, we see him removing people from Egypt. So, which means now, the Egypt would symbolize those hindrances, because now, instead of basically, and this is where we get to the end, because our focus is on the things of the world. Look at them where they are. And these are the things that really lead us to sin. It's some form of also of temptation, because now it becomes the barrier and it draws people back into the world. So, which means now we keep on failing repeatedly into sin, and we keep on being discouraged, and therefore this kind of a sin ends up eroding our faith. So deception and the false teaching, they lead people astray, basically, because we ought to stay in the word. And Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and the testimony, if they do not speak according to the word, it is because there is not life in them. So it shows that truth is essential, because deception will cloud the mind, and therefore really that hindrance, and that becomes disobedience, basically. So there becomes the internal struggles, there becomes the barriers that we get into, because then we are not really focused. We have the habits of addiction. We've created chains that prevent us into having the full dedication into Abba Yahuwah. So we need to come to the freedom, because that freedom, it is what it breaks us from the sinful patterns or the things that we tend to be stuck on, those that are hindering us. And we have a whole lot of things, even the self-interest. Also earlier on, people end up and all that. So these are the things that really makes us not to grow spiritually, because it shows that we really do not understand what the reign of Abba Yahuwah is about. And we've put priority in the things of the world instead we've misplaced our loyalty, whereby we are looking at the things of the world more than into the reign of Abba Yahuwah, and into understanding clearly and hearing his word without any hindrance whatsoever. Shalom.
Tuda Malak, thank you so much. Send us your WhatsApp, 0826572729. Let's hear what you say.
Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umngani wabo bonke abadinga ukukhuthazwa. Silalele ku app yethu noma ku radiopulpit.co.za.
Alright, we also have Dimsane. Let me start with Jason, man. Jason also says God's sightings, good news. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. May the Father do you good. And Tim Sane.
Thanks for the topic, the stumbling blocks of the children of God. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Ray, we are the children of God.
Mm.
And Jesus is the way to God. So when we walk Jesus' route, we reach God. So it becomes a stumbling block if it's anything that stops you from traveling Jesus' route in order to reach God. Thank God that we are born again. By virtue of being born again, you are no longer a sinner. You are righteous. You are sanctified. You are justified. You are holy. You are made holy. And as you walk in light, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And the way which is Jesus actually leads to the Father, and the Father is God. And in the book of 1 John, the Bible says God is love. So basically stumbling is basically stumbling the road of love.
Mm.
So by nature, as a child of God, you are a love and beloved. So these three things are circulating around where you are. You are love, you are a lover, and you are a beloved. So anything that basically stops this love from traveling, from happening, it's basically a stumbling block. There's quite a number of them. I'm just going to list a few. But the first one, it's basically not to love. And not to love, it's basically to hate. Now, that's a strong word for us children of God, because you've got a nature of love. It will just be there. So which means if you come to a point where you take a conscious decision not to love, that becomes a stumbling block. Now, there are things that make people to come to that decision. In your case, it's a decision. It's a conclusion. You must have made up your mind not to love, because you would love by default. One of them, the classic one, is not forgiving, to keep grudges, bitterness, resentments, not picking up your cross, basically. When people hurt you, as a child of God, you've got a task. That is a noble task. And Brother Ren, I want you to take this task very serious, because that's what makes you a Christian. That's what makes you a child of God, to actually patiently endure. There's something amazing about the child of God. Hence they say a child, you know, like a baby. You shout at him or her now, the following moment, mama, you know, everything is back to normal. This is you. So cultivate the back to normal and do it quickly and do it before the end of the day. You are entitled to be angry, or else you will be done, but do not allow your anger to last more than 24 hours. And in less than an hour, it will be even better. Or not even picking an offense in the first place will be a master lover, the master lover. In other words, a master child of God. But thus, a master beloved, you are also able to receive love yourself. That will be the first one. Then the second one is loving your enemy. Now, in this case, I don't mean the offender. I mean the eternal enemy. Now, Pastor, I'm sure you're going to hear me out here. Loving the devils. Now, the devil is your enemy. The Bible says, watch out your enemy, the devil who's roaming around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is your enemy, you have to watch out. One day we're going to talk about being aware that you've got an enemy. But now, in this case, loving. Now, that makes you different. That's what makes you a child of God. Loving the, okay, the first one, loving the unlovable, okay. But in this case, loving the enemy. Jesus says in Matthew 5, you were told that an eye for an eye and teeth for a tooth. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, pray for those who despitefully use you. But Jesus put it clear, love your enemy. Enemy is there. He knows it's your enemy, but he says love. Once you mount into that level, you're now a master. You're now breaking ground beyond nature now. You're starting to depict the nature of God. Jesus says there, Pharisees love other Pharisees. Tax collectors love other tax collectors. So what good is it that you love those who love you? But when you start to love those who hate you, those who want to kill you, those who want you down, those who want, and you love them, you share your meal, you share your life, you share your being with them. Hello, Mr. A. It's me, Tim Sani.
Looks like we somehow have run out of time, Tim Sani, on this. And it just cuts there and there. I will try to just place it where it was. Let's see.
Things in the name of Jesus, a shoulder to cry on. Be a person that we can trust. Now, also, this final pastor, this does not mean if you are hurting, now play I.O. No, that's not what the word is saying. When you're hurting, cry. The Bible says, cry with those who cry. And when you're happy, be happy. And then be happy with those who are happy. If you're happy, sing songs. If you're sick, call the elders of the church to lay hands on you. If you're sad, talk to the brother. If you stumbled, find a counselor at the church, a brother and sister that you can tell, take me. Man, this is what happened. The Bible says, pray for each other so that you get healed. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Be like that, but now without the other baggage of complaining and all that. Hallelujah. Pastor A, thank you so much. May God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Time has really gone. Unfortunately, time is not on our side.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
Thunambe, ukuyihamba nawe le ndlela yobomi. Hlala umamele, tyelela ku radiopulpit.co.za.
All right. Now, when we touch on the very aspect of stumbling blocks, finally, let me come back to you, Professor, and at least give you 2 minutes to get on to this. The word is saying quite a lot here. In Romans chapter 14, verse 13, says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, which means let us not condemn one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall on our brother's ways. Sometimes stumbling blocks, it's us. We condemn one another. Professor, finally...
Thank you, my brother, for that. Sometimes we do put a yoke in our brother's neck, the yoke that we cannot ourselves carry. And condemnation is one of the things that we use. And we do that because maybe there's a bit of a difference between me and you, and then I begin to look at that difference, but I'm not able to see what is on me that is not on you. So it reminds me of a scripture that says, do not look at the speck in your brother's eye, and while there is a log in your own eye. So these are stumbling blocks to the relationship that we should be having with our fellow brethren, because we need to love one another. We need to accept one another. If there's anything that I'm seeing on you that I need to correct. I need to do it with love so that I can be able to bring you back or to keep you in the way and the path of the Father. But when we start judging and condemning one another, we are taking ourselves or we are taking another brethren outside of the will of God or taking him outside of the body of Christ. Because if I can be able to do that, it means there's nowhere else where I can go and hide if my brother is able to do that towards me. So we are being taught that we shouldn't be as individuals be stumbling block again towards each other as a brethren, because we need to reveal the Lord whom we worship. We need to reveal the love of God amongst us so that we can be able to walk this walk together without us being condemned by our fellow brothers. Because whilst we walk together, brethren, we have our own faults, but we tend to see more faults on the other brother. We tend to see the speck on the other brother, and we are forgetting what does the word say. The word is speaking about unconditional love. It talks about us revealing the Father who is love. So we're not supposed to judge, but we need to correct each other in love and with love so that we can be able to bring many to the Lord. So we don't need to hurry into judgment, but show the love of God, preach the gospel with love and humility, showing who the Father is, because we are the first mirrors. We are the first people who need to bring people back to God without us condemning them, without us judging them, without us making them feel that they do not qualify or they do not belong. So we are all supposed to be in the kingdom without being stumbling blocks to other people who also want to come into this commonwealth of the kingdom of Yahushua HaMashiach.
Thank you so much, Professor. I really appreciate. And Baruch, you left with a minute, unfortunately. 1 John chapter 2, verses 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Another aspect that causes stumbling blocks is the fake love we give to one another. What say you, finally? We have a minute.
Hey, Shalom. And it's true that we so much pretend. And all that, you know. So it just really shows we don't have the love that Yahusha speaks about. It's something that we do not know or do not understand. Now, this says to us as believers, there is that weakness in us, and we ought to go back to the drawing board and get to be able to understand the true love that Abba Yahuwah spoke about, so that we don't walk retrayela in life, but to stand in firmly. That there's no laziness, there's no complacency as well in us, that we spiritually basically, and we learn what love is, so that now it's no longer that fake love, but we show true love, because we understand the true love that he gave to us as human beings by sending Yahusha HaMashiach. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Malak. And thank you so much to Professor. We talk again the coming week. We are going to be touching on the issue of good services. What are good services? Thank you, Professor.
Thank you very much, my brother. Blessings to you all in the mighty name of Yahusha HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Amen. Till we meet again.
And thank you so much, Malak. Tuda.
Tuda Rabah, Malak to you and to your family, to Professor Wilson Dede and family, to the Radio Pulpit beloved family. Baruch Yahuwah. Shalom.
Baruch Yahuwah. Shalom. Thank you so much. And of course, thank you. Coming up next, it's Men's Dialogue, a men's show for every organization of men and every man in general.
Tune in. Grow in faith. Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice and update your details, or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.